This is the September 26 edition of Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Our panelists for the day include Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. Merrill Crowley, he's at Midwest Market Solutions in Watseka, Illinois. And Kurt Kimmel from Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Commodity Week is a production of Illinois Public Media. You may find us, listen to us online, on demand, anytime you'd like at willag.org at WILLAG.org. Merrill Crowley, on Monday, the United States Department of Agriculture will release a couple of reports, the grain stocks report and the small grains summary. Let's work with the grain stocks report for just a second. This is the last one of the year. Do we have projections from the trade, and how good are they?
We do have projections. I don't see a whole lot of change in them as far as how good they are. Well, let's see. Everything I predicted with the USDA in the last three reports has been wrong, so I'm the last person you should probably ask about that.
What are you hopeful that it will show?
Well, I'm hoping it'd be a little bullish, but, you know, you look at the feed needs for corn. They're going to be down on, I think, the corn because I think we're substituting wheat for it. And we've certainly got a lot of wheat to substitute for. So that doesn't bode well for the corn stocks actually going down. The bean stocks, it's going to kind of depend on our exports and our sales. And if you look at that part of the equation, export and sales have been down. So I just hope if it's down if the reports show larger stocks, that it won't be by much.
It reminds me of the old Wendy's commercial, where's the beef, where's the corn, especially here in the Eastern Belt. Gosh, talking to a lot of elevator guys and producers in general, there's a big question mark, but we're going to have a report. The average guess is 2.418. That's down about 25, 30 million bushels from what the September report showed. On beans, about 981 million bushels. That's down about 20 million bushels. Now, the significance of this report this particular year is we're not going to have the co-mingling of new crop coming in to satisfy old crop demand. So I think the trade's probably 100 to 200 million bushels too high on corn stocks because we're not going to have that advantage of having new crop come in and take up the slack.
Kurt Kimmel is with Bates Commodities. If you're 100 to 200 million bushels short, do you think there's a rally in the corn market as we move through what would normally be a seasonal to the downside?
Well, I believe we're carving out a seasonal low. If you go back in history, oftentimes we record lows this time of the year. If you look at the corn chart in particularly, we're trying to establish a head and shoulders bottom. If you look at the bean chart, we've got a bigger, broader head and shoulders bottom in through here. So I feel as we get through harvest in through here that we'll have the seasonals kick in through in here and gradually work higher.
Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities, when you look at this grain stocks report and then think about what that means maybe for the first one in December, because we have good numbers here, but we're not going to have all our grain in storage someplace, and usually these are kind of surveys. Now, there'll be an awful lot that's in the field and not in the bin. How will USDA be able to handle all of it?
Well, we're not sure, but I mean, it's generally the September one that's messed up because, like you said, we got old and new crop mixed together. We just won't have all the new crop in at that point in time. And if it's being so late that it's not in at that time, you know, that will have been the later planted stuff. It'll be the stuff that was probably damaged, and it's probably the stuff that could have been down in the field and hard to harvest and get the extra bushels there. So we're not going to get the numbers that we want maybe till in January to know fully what it is. But I think this report this time, we could actually see them come on and catch up because we've been way, way slow on using corn for feed and the amount of animals we have. And with a good possibility now with the Japan agreement and also what we've sold to China and looking for the export of beef and pork, and I think that we're going to continue to feed some more stuff. Merrill's right. I mean, we did feed a lot of wheat. A lot of the foreign countries fed a lot of wheat instead of bought our corn along the way. But, I mean, along right now, I am really, really hoping that we can see a little bit of a takedown in this report on the numbers.
Just an FYI on the Japanese agreement, that does not need to be approved by the U.S. Congress, though the Japanese legislators will need to approve it. Should take place, I think, January of 2020 or go into place at that time. And it is built as the TPP would have been built, so those countries that have been signing on with the CPTPP with Japan will be trading at the same level now as what the United States is, or maybe you flip it around and say the United States is now going to be trading with the same level playing field as those particular countries. And of course, then you have the USMCA, which until this week looked like it probably would be moving through prior to the month of December. There has been a push. It may be in peril as Congress has been sidelined with President Trump and the potential for the impeachment process to go forward. Now, let's turn our attention back to the marketplace. I'd like to know, since all of you have driven in to see me this afternoon on a Thursday, what you think you saw in the field. I think, Kurt Kimmel, I'll start with you because I don't believe a lot has been moving yet.
No, I came from Bloomington to Champaign on 74, and I saw one commercial cornfield out and a couple seed corn out. We've got a seed corn plant there in Farmer City area, so there's some seed around there. So not a whole lot. I'd say a lot of the beans along the way, I'd say half of them might be able to cut next week, but you got a bean field ready to go, and you got a field that's green as a gourd right next to it, so it's going to be strung out for a while. Yield reports we're hearing, basically, 180 to 190 bushel corn, where a year ago it was, 230, 240. Beans, there's some 35 bushel beans, some 40 bushel beans. Heard a 72 bushel bean in northern Illinois, but that had all the bells and whistles on it, and he needed 72 bushels to pay for his inputs.
And so that would be from Bloomington to Champaign, or about 55 miles or so to where we're located at this point on Interstate 74, going the other direction, all the way towards Indianapolis, about to Crawfordsville. What's that, around 70 miles from Champaign? What did it look like?
Well, we have done just like he said. We've got you pick and choose your fields. Everybody got a few fields in April, early May, and they're being harvested. Variability is the word for them. Very, very variable. We had one farmer that made, I think, 270 on some field of 90 acres, went across the scale, and then he come back and just 2 miles down the road, planted the next day, 155. One was a lot of hog manure on the first one like that, but still that much variability. As far as we look at the beans, we've seen, we went from 30 bushel to 74 bushel as far as what we've heard early. The pattern tiled fields in the area down around 36, basically done better so far in the early beans. They're all done with the early beans. They don't know what the next ones, they were planted 3 weeks later, so we don't know. The other short beans that we've seen harvested but haven't gotten many yields on like that, but we're seeing basically from 40 to 60 bushels on the less, most everybody 10 to 14 bushel less than last year on any of the fields.
And on the trip from Watsika, and I don't quite recall how far that is, but you're due north of Champaign and due the east just a bit, and what did it look like?
Well, we're out 24 south, basically, is to the interstate 74. So I only saw three cornfields with one guy going, and the other two had been shucked not too long ago. So that's about all the action I saw. Now, I've been getting reports from different places, harvest is not very far along. And so just taking rough, quick averages of it, I'm basically coming up with corn stocks running, or corn yields running roughly 15% below. I'm showing soybean stocks, and again, even fewer soybean yields. They're running below, but they're running below about 23% from last year. Now, here is the deal. If you wanted to bring your corn yield down to, say, 10%, stocks to use. And if, here's going to be a bunch of ifs, I'm sorry, but if you wanted to say, I'm not going to change demand, I'm not going to change the harvested acres. So all I'm going to do this on is bushels per acre. Currently, you would need to take about 10% off your corn and about 13.3% off your beans. So with what's I'm seeing now, we're going to make that move. On the other side of the coin, 62% good to excellent on corn rating usually means above trend or above trend yields. And Monday we got 57% on the corn and 54% on the beans. So we're not far from the 62%. I'm not a condition rating guy. I'd rather look at the yields and see where we're at in relation to last year.
One of the things, and he mentioned not changing demand, but I must admit, I think I'd like to look at that as it relates to the ethanol market.
Well, ethanol is a key part of the supply-demand balance sheet. We need to maintain our ethanol base. We're seeing some plants take some downtime and then some closures. We don't need to lose that business because it's a strong indication or a strong point of the supply-demand balance sheet. The other thing, too, is world ethanol. Brazil particularly is strong on ethanol, a lot of sugar ethanol. Their sugar crop's down. So hopefully we can gain some of the world market as we move forward.
What's your biggest worry at this point for the marketplace?
I have no worries. Everything works out. The three things I'm looking at has to do with the Brazilian and South American weather. Right now, that's beneficial to our markets. How that moves along is, going to depend on the rains they have forecasted. Are they going to be as large as what they expect? Our current corn yields and bean yields, how are they going to turn out in relationship to last year? And even though last year was a great year, again, you're going to have some yields to make up for that. And it won't be the first time a delayed crop is running in the neighborhood of greater than 10% loss in corn and soybeans. As far as the demand side, we're looking at, one guy described it as a stool with three legs: demand, feed usage, and exports. Well, the exports don't seem to be good. Feed usage seems to be replaced by wheat. So what we have right now is supply. And the one thing, though, when you were talking about ethanol, you remember China was going to do this big ethanol program, and they said just on September 17th, no, we can't do that. We only have 56 million metric ton on hand. And I'm like, what? And I went back and looked, and guess what? In November of 2018, they went from 58.5 to 207.5 million metric ton. And supposedly that's all gone. Now, whether it disappeared or not, especially if it disappeared, that demand's got to show up and go somewhere. And there's not enough corn to replace the removal of that much demand in the world supply.
Well, I'm going to play the wet blanket for a little bit longer and see whether we can find more good things or problems, one of the two. When you think about the number of acres that went to prevent plant this year, and on Thursday, the United States Department of Agriculture announced that there will be another bump in prevent plant payments, 10% if you don't have the harvest price option, 15% on the payment if you do have the harvest price option, and I think it'll all come through the crop insurance agencies. However, what I want to know is the impact that will have on corn acreage next year and whether that will play a role, in very much so, in what the price of corn does this year.
Well, of course, the forecasts are for greatly increased planting of corn next year because they didn't think the beans were going to be looking good. The one thing that we can really, really hope for is we get a deal with China. They do actually continue to buy more from us. We would go back to Brazil wouldn't, if we can get the tariffs off or down, Brazil wouldn't have that 25 or 40% tariff in there to bid us. They'd have to come down to our level. We might do it, but we could pick some up that way. But if we get up to that 94 to 95 million acres of corn, that's just too many acres of corn to see much of a rally for next year. We've seen a lot of advisory firms advising selling anywhere from 4 to 415 corn, and they say to get aggressive doing that because of the large acreages. Now, generally, the masses aren't right, but the masses of them all have been saying to do that. We watched one major advisory firm buy back their shorts this week, 2 days ago, and here on Thursday, they resold another 30% via options and via futures. So a lot of fear, and even in the big advisory firms.
Yeah, Wayne's dead on it the next year. I can inform as the leader on the 5 million more corn acres next year, 178 bushels per acre. That gives you a 15 billion bushel corn crop. 20 corns north of $4. There's probably nothing wrong with taking a look at that, but we do like we did this past year here, buy a 420, sell a 460, 470 call in case we do break out to the upside there. You can capture another 30, 40 cents to the upside, so you got some staying power in through here. So that's something you need to kind of pencil out, even though you don't have a whole lot of 19 sold yet. One of the things, too, I'm fearful of, I know Merrill's, he's okay, is African swine fever. It's starting to show up here in South Korea. South Korea is one of our large buyers of grain. But the biggest fear I wake up in the middle of the night sweating about is if it shows up somewhere in the North American continent other than just in the United States.
And so there is always AFS out there, and it's been a problem. It's one of the reasons that China stopped importing so much soybeans from the United States other than the trade negotiations. But I suppose maybe the way it was able to manage its way through that supply or lack of supply of soybeans and its need to import so many of them from South America. Speaking of which, the Argentine area hasn't looked good. It's been awfully dry as the beginning of the season for their soybean crop is upon us.
Well, and they just came out and said their wheat crop is one of the biggest ever, record crop. But it's not done, and it's dry. So I'm looking at that to come down, so that'll help a little bit in our wheat supplies and our wheat price. Wheat price has been helping to drag the corn price down, so I think that's a bright spot. And then you start talking about, well, okay, China's cut back on all the soybean meal. Again, getting back to this corn, where the heck did the 150 million bushel of corn go? Metric tons, 150 million metric ton. Did they feed that instead of meal? I don't know. I understand the hog problem is a scary one if we come back over here. I think a lot of farmers breathed a breath of relief when they found out that the Chinese trade representatives didn't come out to the field on concerns about transformation of African swine fever to the American crop. And I don't know. I've not talk to anybody in particular, but the hog farmers that I know of don't want anybody coming in there with the way things are going on now. So that's kind of where I'm looking at it. I don't know how it's all going to work out, but I just got a feeling that China's in this in for beans. Why are they in for beans? Well, I can see they're being worried about whether or not they're going to get the beans from South America. Our beans are the cheapest, kind of loves them bargains if they can get them. And maybe they're using more than they want to let on to. Maybe they use this corn in place of the bean meal. I don't know. You can't tell with the China crop. But things just seem to me like they're slowly moving around to something a little more bullish than what everybody's looking at. I mean, I think people right now are just searching for bearish answers and bearish reasons to sell the crop. I think a low is in. I think we're due for a decent rally. It's always been said that you don't want to short corn in October, and I feel like that may continue. I don't know how the later crop will affect that exactly, but again, I think that that thing's got to look and work its way through.
You're shaking your head in agreement.
Oh, man, they're trying to compare this crop to 2009. 2009, we were late, but we had record yields and so forth. We had a big production. What happened in 2009, Todd? We bought them just like we're doing right now, and this market ripped a dollar higher. And you go back in history, you take 73, 83, 93, same situation, recorded a fall low, and off we went to the upside. Now, those are threes, but you take three times three, that's nine, Todd. It's the year of the nine, my friend.
Year of the nine, can we put an outside up month in corn and soybeans?
Hey, we're close to it. We got to watch that. I talked to our good friend Dan Zwicker, and he's watching that real close. And here, corn's right, I think, what, 669 or so. We got to close above that, and we're good for a monthly up in through here. If we can do that, that's kind of step one.
Well, Todd, there's another thing that neither of the guys mentioned. Farmers built more bins the last 3 years. Everybody was saying, planted this late and whatever along the way, I'm not going to fill my bin. You want to rent part of my bin? Here we are. Now they're going to have better crops than what they thought. But everybody is going to have more bin space, and their elevators are not going to get the cheap, wide bases at harvest. Look right now. The reason we all think that the government is probably wrong on their carryout number and they've over-underestimated feed usage for the last 2 years is because everybody's paying over for corn right now. This is the time of year when you steal grain. This is when people want to empty their farm bins. This is when you're going to charge a new in-charge or a new minimum at the elevator. People want to sell grain. They aren't rushing to sell grain. Most of them are out of grain. Everybody that knows, Kurt knows his customers. I know my customers. Merrill knows his. We don't know anybody that's got maybe over 3,000 or 4,000 bushels of corn at home. Not a big binful, not something like that. The basis is tight now, and I'll tell you what, I was in the elevator business a lot of years. You get over halfway through and your elevator's half empty, you tighten the basis more because you don't want to end up with a not full elevator at the time. And I think we're going to see a lot of that and good basis through harvest this year.
Does it tell you anything, Wayne, that there were some, in our area, some half-price drying costs that really weren't attracting very many bushels of corn?
Well, that tells us that even at half price, it was still awful wet to dry. But in most cases, I think our friend Matt Bennett made the comment that some guys went and did that for a field or two, and even at half price, they're going to let it sit out in the field for another couple weeks. So I think that's one thing that's going on. But I do, it does tell us that, I mean, the farmer doesn't want to get rid of his corn here right now, and they're looking at flat price. They should probably look at the basis and the drying cost and go ahead and sell it and buy a cheap call, to be very honest. We did that a lot with our guys in Kentucky. They had a 25 over basis, and they were combining corn, and it was doing quite well. And, okay, you can go when you're getting an over basis instead of a 25 under basis, you can afford to buy the distant call that's in the money, and it's cheaper than because you aren't worrying about the basis appreciation later. Because it is already over, and that does work for guys this year. And when we see some of that, that's maybe what some of the farmers should look at doing. We're not quite there yet here in Illinois and Indiana, but in Kentucky we sure were.
So we happened to talk to Matt, of course, on Thursday afternoon during the closing market report. He was in the field combining soybeans at the time. Not many people have moved yet. I suspect that when they do move, they may be in corn for a short time, but they'll actually end up when soybeans in the cornfields will set. Will that mean anything different when it's this late in the season at all to the way the market works, to what happens with bids, to what producers should be watching in order to take advantage of a basis move? I just don't understand the mechanics of it all.
Well, you're fixing to find out here because the harvest is extremely spread out, and you're going to have, you got April, you got May, and you got June. And I think the key is, like you mentioned, you got to watch for strong basis. I think Wayne hit the nail on the head in through there. If you're in that situation, you go ahead and move your cash and replace it on paper. That way you got some cash flow needs, but you still retain some type of ownership. So it varies from area to area and your individual own situation.
I'm seeing two theories. Wayne did an excellent job of the first theory, and I don't disagree. We're going to have to. It's going to be time that tells us. But one thing I do know is in it, when you're doing marketing, rule of thumb, always lock in basis when levels are above normal. If we're not above normal now, I don't know when we will be. So always lock in basis when levels are better than normal. The other part of this, when you talk about are the commercials coming after the corn and the beans because they think, and not so much the beans, but because they think the crop's just not going to be there, that could be. The other theory is that all they need to do is replace their needs. People didn't sell a lot of crop when it was old crop corn, and I know we don't have it in our area, but it's in other areas from what I understand. And people are not selling new crop. They missed the boat when it was higher because everybody was talking $5. A lot of people missed the boat. So all I'm saying is then let's go look at the spreads. What are the spreads telling us? The spreads are still saying store this corn, which is in direct opposition of what the basis is telling us. So unless the spreads start to narrow, if they start to narrow, then they confirm what Wayne is talking about, that the corn's not here, and we better, They're going to have to look harder for it. And basis then should also continue to improve. But the old adage is basis improves first, then spreads, and then cash. So basis did start to improve about 2 weeks now. Now it backed off a little bit the last couple days. Carry. Carry and beans also improved. And it had been going sideways and it moved better. So we are seeing the sign that Wayne is more right about this idea of the commercials are after the corn because they don't think they'll get it. But there's still time yet to decide. And we need to see the basis tighten up, I mean the carry tighten up a little more before I'm totally convinced of that.
As we close out our time together, I want you to think about what the best opportunity producers might have for corn and what their best options for soybeans might be. I think, Wayne, I'll let you take that one up front.
Well, I could say I think that we want to watch the basis levels very close. Remember, flat price, you don't have to take the price you're looking at here, but if the basis looks awfully good, it's going to be advantageous that we can still buy a call or we can still get back in the market, and we're going to need some cash flow along the way, and I think that that's one thing we want to look at. I was asked by a farmer today, my contracts are full on beans now, what do I do with the rest of them? And I said, well, I think you sell so much for cash flow now because we're going to have some cash flow needs. We've looked at fertilizer prices. They've dipped along the way, and they are at some lower levels now, and we'd like to be spending some of that money on fall fertilization and buying some fall fertilizer when it's a little cheaper. If we're going to be putting out 95 million acres of corn next year, fertilizer isn't going to be cheap. So we want to buy and lock in some of that ahead of time. And on the rest of them, I think we've got to give it just a little time and see what these processes are going to do, what happens with China. If we can get a good deal locked in with China, I think we can add 15 to 25 cents back into this bean market fairly fast. Can we add a lot more than that? That's going to depend on the weather and what happens and what our yields look like further down the road. But I think those are the two things that I was looking at.
Yeah, I think, Wayne, you're right on track. In general, though, corn's not acting like we've got a 2.4 billion bushel carry. I think it's much tighter than that, so I hate really giving up ownership in through here, but you just can't listen to these comments and be bullish and not sell a thing. You've got to stay cash current. The other bit of news this week is this Chinese buying out of the Pacific Northwest. That is huge. We're going to clear some grain out of the Dakotas up and through there, and that's going to do wonders in through here. But here the bean basis is still relatively wide, and there's some opportunities to do some good old-fashioned hedges if you're going to try to hang on and cover them.
If we assume we have the short crop, as everybody is thinking, then it's telling you that you want to get aggressive on getting new crop sales locked in. If you have a long, big crop, you want to be patient. So with that in mind that we're having the shorter crop, I'm looking at, and I think the low is in, I'm looking at selling March 380 puts. You can get about 13 and a half cents for them. Then I want to wait. I want to see the rally. Normal rally would probably be about 40 cents in corn. That should push the Dease corn next year, 2020, up about 20 cents. Then I'd like to buy 420 puts. If I can do that with the money then from the puts I sold, I can come up with about a 4.406 floor, and then I sit back and see how the market's going to respond. I don't have any obligation to deliver the corn, or I can roll them up if the corn price moves up, or I can just let them expire worthless. I only got about 12, 14 cents in them.
Commodity Week is a production of Illinois Public Media. You may find and listen to the whole of the program anytime you'd like at willag.org, willag.org. Our thanks go to our panelists, including Merrill Crowley of Midwest Market Solutions out of Watseka, Illinois. From New Market, Indiana, Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities, and Kurt Kimmel is with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.